This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الذي فرض عليك القرآن لرادك إلى معاد قل ربي أعلم من جاء بالهدى ومن هو في ضلال مبين وما كنت ترجو أن يلقى إليك الكتاب إلا رحمة من ربك فلا تكونن ظهيرا للكافرين وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم والله في عون العبد ما كان العبد في عون أخيه أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Honorable ulama ikram, respected brothers, elders, mothers and sisters, one day someone praised Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So he said few things at this occasion and at this juncture, which I often relate to and perhaps it is something that we should reflect over. He said, Allahumma anta a'lamu bi min nafsi, wa ana a'lamu bi nafsi minhum. اللهم اجعلني خيرا مما يحسبون واغفر لي ما لا يعلمون. Allah, you know me better than I know myself, better than they know me. Allah, make me better than what they think of me and don't punish me for the good intentions they have which I have failed to do. اللهم اجعلني خيرا مما يحسبون. Allah, make me better than what their good intentions and their hopes are and aspirations are about me. Hence we say the similar sentiments to our honorable MC, that may Allah Ta'ala make us better than what people think about us, and may Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq and the ability that we reflect, as we heard in the previous nas that were presented in the nasheed as well, that oh Allah, forgive our sins. The poet says, in dhunubi azumat kathira, oh Allah, if my sins have exceeded, which is a reality, then undoubtedly your forgiveness is more encompassing. In kana la yarjuka illa muhsinun faman lil mujrim. If only the pious can have hope in you, Allah, then where do the evil sinners turn? Friends and elders, there isn't a shred of doubt in the heart and the mind of any Muslim, be he religious or irreligious, male or female, that the Ummah is currently going through severe strain. Every person understands that this is not the golden era of this Ummah, this is not the glory of this Ummah, this is not the period of prosperity for this Ummah. So there is consensus over the fact that we are facing a crisis. However, the irony of this problem is that we are terribly divided on the way forward. Everybody has understood we are facing a crisis, but we are terribly divided over the way forward and the solution. And it is as a result of our division in the solution that we do not complement the activities of others, but we contradict it simply because we feel that is not the solution. Each man is obsessed, and what I am doing is the way forward. كُلُّ حِزْبٍ بِمَا لَدَيْهِمْ فَرِحُونَ Allah says every group is obsessed in this current crisis and in this dark hour upon the ummah. As the night tolls upon the ummah, and as the strain intensifies upon the ummah, every person is convinced that what I am doing is the correct way. Speak to any man, and each person will pour his heart out and tell you, this is what we need to do. Some will come from an Islamic perspective, some from a political angle. But the reality of the matter is, as the Quran says, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يُجَادِلُ فِي اللَّهِ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ وَلَا هُدًى وَلَا كِتَابٍ مُنِيرٍ There are many people who argue regarding deen without logic or divine knowledge. There are many people who want to put forth an argument that the Muslim Ummah should be doing this year, but they lack logic as well as divine knowledge. Let me take you to a scholar, perhaps you heard his name. If not, let me share briefly with you. None other than Shaykh al-Hind, rahimahumullah, nawwarallahu marqadahu, Allah fill his grave with nur, who was just not a man, or was just not a profound scholar of his time, but was also a very great political figure. Hence, he had the best of both. He had a great struggle in the politics, and he was a very, very great scholar amongst the very first students who graduated from Darul Ulum Dioban. And it was in his very struggle against politics that he was imprisoned. And for 3 years, he was kept as captive and he was a prisoner. And after his release, amongst the first congregations that he addressed was a congregation of ulama. And he says, during my period of captivity, I gave great thought over the pitiful condition of this ummah. I reflected at length over the tragedy of this ummah. A man who was sound in his knowledge, who was well clued up in politics, who says, in 3 years of introspection, I reflected at great length. And I have safely arrived at two conclusions. This is the reason why the ummah is going through such stress. The first is, we have neglected this Quran. And the second is, our internal bickering and dissension, which is a result of the first. He further said, this ummah that could have become billion strong in number, unfortunately has fragmented in billion segments. This is the reason, if we study the crisis that is staring at the Muslim ummah, Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu used to say, لَوْ أَنَّ قُلُوبَنَا طَهُرَتْ مَا شَبِعْنَا مِنْ كَلَامِ رَبِّنَا. If our hearts were cleansed truly from the pollution of this world, we would have never tired reading the book of Allah nor listening to the book of Allah. And we make dua to Allah at this juncture that Allah must cleanse our heart. Allah must purify our heart. Imagine, Hazrat Tufail ibn Amr Dawsi radiallahu anhu says, I came to Makkah. People poisoned me against Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to such an extent that I said, even unintentionally, I mustn't hear the Quran. People told me, he's such an evil man that don't come close to him. You will be influenced. He will hypnotize you. He will cast a spell on you to such an extent. Hatta hashawtu fi udhuni qutna. I stuffed cotton wool in my ears and I said, perchance, even if I walk past him, the Quran mustn't influence me. He said, but Allah's divine kindness upon me, Allah's sheer mercy, as I walk past that alley where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was reciting Quran, which in Bukhari Sharif first volume, Abdullah ibn Rawaha radiallahu anhu paints the picture, and he says, وَفِينَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ يَتْلُو كِتَابَهُ وَفِينَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ يَتْلُو كِتَابَهُ إِذَا انشَقَّ مَعْرُوفٌ مِّنَ الْفَجْرِ سَاطِعُ أَرَانَا الْهُدَى بَعْدَ الْعَمَى فَقُلُوبُنَا بِهِ مُوقِنَاتٌ أَنَّمَا قَالَ وَاقِعُ يبيت يجافي جنبه عن فراشه إذا استثقلت بالمشركين المضاجع. He says, oh people, how can I possibly condense in words our good fortune? Let me tell it to you in a nutshell. We, that is the Sahaba, enjoyed that gathering wherein the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam resided. It was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the golden era of prophethood. It was the surroundings of the Kaaba, the galaxy of Abu Bakr, Umar and Uthman, and the early part of the morning, and the Prophet ﷺ reciting Quran. تَتَجَافَى جُنُوبُهُمْ عَنِ الْمَضَاجِعِ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ خَوْفًا تَتَجَافَى جُنُوبُهُمْ عَنِ الْمَضَاجِعِ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ خَوْفًا. Allah speaks about one of the salient qualities in a believer, that he separates from his bed. At that time, when the bed becomes heavy for others, when they cling to their bed, these people separate from their beds and they worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are the two tragedies of this ummah. The first is, we have neglected the Quran, and the second is our internal dissension and our division. Let us reflect for a period of time over both these factors and see how this has crippled the strength of this ummah. When we look into the life of Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, the hadith that I quoted you before you, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَاللَّهُ فِي عَوْنِ الْعَبْدِ مَا كَانَ الْعَبْدُ فِي عَوْنِ أَخِي. Allah's help will be perpetual with this ummah as long as they mutually support and help one another. As long as there is mutual support for one another, Allah's help is definite with this ummah. In Musnad Hakim, there is one riwayat. One day the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting with the Sahaba, and there was a broad smile on his face. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu seized the opportunity and he said, Ya Rasulallah, mali araka dhahika. Oh Nabi of Allah, what is the reason? Broad smile, hatta, you know, his blessed teeth became exposed. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Rajulani min ummati jathaya bayna yaday rabbil izzah. Umar, I'm actually visualizing a scene that is to happen on the day of Qiyamah, but it is so vivid before me as if it is prevailing now. What is this, O Nabi of Allah? Elaborate. رَجُلَانِ مِنْ أُمَّتِي جَثَيَا بَيْنَ يَدَيْ رَبِّ الْعِزَّةِ Two servants of Allah, followers of my ummah, will kneel before Allah on the day of Qiyamah. One will say, يَا رَبِّ خُذْ لِي مَظْلِمَتِي مِنْ أَخِي Oh Allah, my brother oppressed me in this world, and you promised that on the day of Qiyamah, justice will prevail. Each man will be given everything in due. No person will be deprived of anything, as the Quran says, وَلَا يُذْلَمُونَ نَقِيرًا They will not be oppressed in the least. So Allah will intercede on behalf of this person, and Allah will say, كَيْفَ تَصْنَعُ بِأَخِيكَ وَلَمْ يَبْقَ مِنْ حَسَنَاتِهِ شَيْءٍ Listen, while you are correct in what you say, that this is the day that justice will prevail, and you are entitled to lodge the complaint against your brother, but look at him, he doesn't have much credit to his account. He doesn't have much good deeds. You don't want to excuse him and overlook the wrong that was done to you. So he will say, Oh Allah, يَوْمَن يَجْعَلُ الْوِلْدَانَ شِيبًا يَوْمَن يَجْعَلُ الْوِلْدَانَ شِيبًا فَإِذَا نُقِرَ فِي النَّاقُورِ فَذَلِكَ يَوْمَئِذٍ يَوْمٌ عَسِيرٌ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ غَيْرُ يَسِيرٌ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ لَوْ عَلِمْتَ بِهَوْلِهِ لَفَرَرْتَ مِنْ أَهْلٍ وَمِنْ أَوْطَانِي يَوْمٌ تَشَقَّقَتِ السَّمَاءُ بِالْغَمَامِ Imagine that day when Allah says the youth will instantly age. He will say, Allah, I am very desperate. I respect your sentiments that you've interceded. But my desperation doesn't allow me to pity any soul but myself. فَلْيَحْمِلْ مِنْ أَوْزَارِي Allah, if he cannot give me credit, then there's one way out. He must lighten the burden of sins that I'm carrying. وَفَاضَتْ عَيْنَا رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ بِالْبُكَى ثُمَّ قَالْ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ لَيَوْمٌ عَظِيمٌ يَحْتَاجُ النَّاسُ أَنْ يُحْمَلَ عَنْهُمْ مِنْ أَوْزَارِهِمْ The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم barely said this, and he became emotional, he started crying, and he started sobbing. He said, this indeed will be the pinnacle of desperation. We've seen people desperate for finance, we've people seen desperate to be released from a prison, we've seen youngsters desperate to get married, people desperate for different things. The Prophet ﷺ says, indeed, this will be the pinnacle of desperation. Then Allah Ta'ala will tell this person, okay, do me a favor, leave your brother, look in that direction. Glance there. So as he will glance, Allah will ask him, what can you see? He will answer, أَرَى مَدَائِنَ مِنْ ذَهَبْ وَقُصُورًا مِنْ ذَهَبْ مُكَلَّلَةً بِاللُّؤْلُ لِأَيِّ نَبِيٍ هَذَا أَوْ لِأَيِّ صِدِّيقٍ هَذَا أَوْ لِأَيِّ شَهِيدٍ هَذَا Allah, I can see palaces of gold. Allah, I can see rivers of Jannat. Allah, I can see the streams of Jannat. Allah, I can see the gardens. For which prophet have you designed this, Allah? For which martyr is this designated? For which pious and truthful person have you kept this exclusively, O Allah? Allah will say, no, it is not exclusive to any learned, any pious, any martyr. لِمَنْ أَعْتَ الثَّمَنْ The man who pays the price, the palace is his. قَالَ وَمَنْ يَمْلِكُ ذَلِكُ Allah, who has the price to purchase your palace? You go and try and purchase a palace at the side of any the beach is Allah's. The water is Allah's. But you look at the economic, how they exploit. You go and, same thing here, you maybe buy here in a local area and then get a nice cottage at the side of a beach and then you see what you're paying. And this is that palace of Allah. What the Hadith Qudsi says, three things Allah did with his own hands. خَلَقَ آدَم بِيَدِهِ Allah created Adam with his hand. كَتَبَ التَّوْرَاةَ بِيَدِهِ Allah wrote the Torah with his own hand, which is the mutashabihat. And Allah made Jannatul Firdaus with his own hands. شَقَّ فِيهَا أَنْهَارَهَا غَرَسَ فِيهَا أَشْجَارَهَا When is you and I take pride in designing our house and in our gardening, this is Allah says, I created Jannatul Firdaus. Whoever pays the price, this palace is his. So this man will ask Allah, you tell me what is the price. Allah will say, بِعَفْوِكَ عَنْ أَخِيكَ You forgive your brother and I promise you that palace is yours. He says, Allah, is this definite? He says, yeah, Allah will say, definitely. He says, okay, Allah, I make you my witness. I have forgiven my brother. Nabi alayhi salatu was salam at this juncture tears. And he says, then Allah will tell him now, you take your brother and both of you go and enjoy that Jannah. Nabi alayhi salam then said, اتقوا الله وأصلحوا ذات بينكم فإن الله يصلح بين المسلمين. Fear Allah and make reconcile in common amongst you. Believe me, this is such an action, even Allah will do it on the day of Qiyamah. Brothers, at this juncture, I ask every person, every one of us are living in a time today, you know, we can say that this is the crisis, and we can sit and condemn the so-called leaders of the Muslim world. Allah give hidayah to one and all. But let's look deep down into our own hearts. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu routinely used to deliver a lecture on Thursday night. One Thursday he was delivering the lecture when one person entered the gathering. He said, listen, any person who has severed ties with his relation, please will he leave the gathering. This man stood up and he went away. And this was the beauty of Sahaba. They would come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They would say, O Sini wa Ojis. O Nabi of Allah, advise, but do me a favor, make it short. To you and I, it sounds like an insult. You're asking for advice, yet you're saying be brief. But the object behind it, let it be that much that I absorb it and fully implement it. Let me absorb it and fully implement it. So he stood up, he went. He had an aunt on the outskirts of the city of Medina, with whom he was not on talking terms. He came, knocked on the door, his aunt opened, astonished, perplexed. What is the matter, oh my nephew? He says, aunt, I've come to apologize. Please forgive me for the wrong and the sour relation and the bickering we had. She was very happy to receive her nephew. She welcomes him, embraces him. But she says, tell me, what is the sudden reason? So he explains that I attended the gathering of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. And today, very strange, as I entered, these were his opening comments. So the aunt said, I have forgiven you. But do me a favor, when you get back to Abu Huraira, ask him, what was the wisdom of announcing this today? As he comes back, he enters into the gathering of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu welcomes him, asks him what happened, where you went. He narrates the entire incident. And then he poses the question that what was the wisdom behind this here? He says, I recall the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, in many gatherings of his, تُعْرَضُ أَعْمَالُ أُمَّتِي يَوْمَ الْإِثْنَيْنِ وَيَوْمَ الْخَمِيسِ. That Thursday night, as was the routine on which he would deliver his lectures, the actions of this ummah are presented in the court of Allah. And Allah, out of His sheer mercy and kindness and clemency, overlooks, forgives and pardons. However, when two such servants present before Allah, between whom there is some sour relation, Allah says, shift them till they don't resolve their differences, I doubt I'll forgive them. So really, brothers, the time has come that this ummah unify. This ummah become united. And this is the opportunity that Allah has given us. After the battle of Badr, Safwan bin Umayyah and Umair bin Wahab were sitting in the haram. And they were discussing what had happened to the Muslims in the battle of Badr. Now we know what honor Allah gave to the Muslims in the battle of Badr. So Safwan bin Umayyah said, Wallahi ma fil aishi ba'dahum khair. After our great leaders are gone, there's no more pleasure to live. So Umair ibn Wahab said, Wallahi lawla daynun alayya wa iyalun indi akhsha alayhim al-dhay'a la rakibtu ila Muhammadin hatta aqtulahu. Believe me, if I didn't have my family who are my dependents and I didn't have my debts to settle, I would have gone now cold-bloodedly and I would have assassinated Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We say sallallahu alayhi wasallam at this juncture. Again, a point to reflect, this is a kafir in the state of kufr with an evil agenda, yet the common qualities, what did he say? If it wasn't for my debts, I cannot move till I don't settle my debts. Imagine our condition. Today, unfortunately, we've camouflaged the whole thing. Whenever the body was brought, the Prophet ﷺ would ask, هَلْ تَرَكَ مِنْ وَفَائِنْ? Tell me, has he got debts? Yes. Has he left behind enough to settle it? Sahaba would say, yes. The Prophet ﷺ would perform the salah. A body was brought. Nabi ﷺ asked, is there outstanding debts of this person? Someone said, yes, O Nabi of Allah, he's owing some money. هَلْ تَرَكَ مِنْ وَفَائِنْ? Has he left behind enough money to settle it? No, O Nabi of Allah, صَلُّوا عَلَى صَاحِبِكُمْ. Do me a favor, somebody else take responsibility and perform his janazah salah. Again, food for thought for the wealthy of this ummah. If only you channel your wealth where Allah wants you, on every cent you'll come closer to Allah. Sayyidina Ali came forward, he said, O Nabi of Allah, I don't know the man, but don't deprive him of your namaz. Whatever his debts are, I'll settle it. Your namaz? How can he be deprived? Nabi alayhi salam said, Fakkallahu rihanaka minan nar kama fakakta rihana akhika al-muslim. Ali, as you save the neck of your brother, may Allah save your neck from Jahannam. What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? In the initial stages, this was his condition. But as Allah opened up the doors of wealth, he said, "Man taraka daynan aw dhiya'an fa'alayya." Man taraka daynan aw dhiya'an fa'alayya. If any ummati dies leaving behind wealth, me being his Nabi, being the closest to him. An-Nabiyyu awla bil mu'minina min anfusihim. An-Nabiyyu awla bil mu'minina min anfusihim. I am the closest to him, yet I don't want to claim a cent from the legacy he leaves behind. However, I want to give him the solace and consolation if he dies leaving behind debts and children. Tell him his father, his Nabi will father those children and his Nabi will settle those debts. This was in the famous khutbah of Nabi alayhi salam. Man taraka daynan, where is the wealthy of this ummah? One day I gave a talk in one place, Allah give jazai khair, I share this example so that it motivates others. I spoke about this year, two brothers were in this gathering. One needed money and one Allah had given him a lot of wealth. They both in that gathering, you know, made dua to Allah that Allah, I need this wealth, you make arrangements. The other one heard the talk and in that gathering, he said, Ya Allah, I heard this year, you give me the ability to help. They came out of that gathering and it was after 2 days, Allah linked them up and this transaction happened and this man who borrowed the money was so happy that within 2 days, Allah gave him the opportunity to help someone financially. So he phones me up, he says, Maulana, just, you know, for the record, that program happened, myself, I attended it and someone else. And this brother in this gathering made this commitment and this is the fruits of it within 2 days after the program. So look at how conscious they were of settling their debts. He says, if it wasn't for me settling my debts, the fear that I have this outstanding money, then I would have gone. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Man mata wa huwa bari'un min al-kibri wal-ghululi wad-daini dakhala al-jannah." The riwayat of Tirmizi. The one who dies free of pride, of deceit and debts, he goes straight to Jannah. I was one day contemplating over this hadith and Allah put a thought in my mind. How sad we are dying guilty of all three sins. What did the Prophet ﷺ say? The one who dies free of all three sins. What is this? Pride. Ghulul is betraying in the battle. وَمَن يَغْلُلْ يَأْتِ بِمَا غَلَّ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَمَن يَغْلُلْ يَأْتِ بِمَا غَلَّ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. The Prophet ﷺ says he will stand up on the day of Qiyamah. And let him not supplicate me and say, oh Muhammad, when you have betrayed and you have deceived, one person passed away, people made a general comment that he is in Jannat. Nabi alayhi salam says, no, fi burdatin ghallaha. He took one sheet that was not allotted to him. I am afraid that snatching, which was not allotted to him, will jeopardize his entry into Jannah. Fi burdatin ghallaha. The one who dies free of these and debts, then he will go straight to Jannah. Allah forgive, we dying guilty of all three. We are dying guilty of all these three crimes. What did Sayyidina Muaz radiallahu anhu say? Innakum ubtulitum bi fitnati dharra fa sabartum. Wa inni akhafu alaykum min fitnati sarra. Ala wa hiya an-nisa idha tahallayna bil dhahab. ولبسنا ريط الشام وعصب اليمن فأتعبنا الغني وكلفنا الفقير ما لا يطيق. You seen the era of difficulty you endured, but I'm afraid the era of prosperity comes your way. And that is woman who will insist on the silk and the fine garments of Sham, and will insist on wearing the most exclusive clothing, who will tire the wealthy and burden the poor. So anyway, when Umair ibn Wahab said this, Safwan said, "Iyaluka ma'a iyali, wa daynuka alayya." If these are the only two hindrances and deterrence that you have to kill Muhammad, then trust me, I'll take your family as my family, and I will take your debts as my debts, but go and kill Muhammad and bring peace to Arabia. Again, look at these people, the mutual support to one another for wrong endeavors. Today, we cannot stand and financially support in matters of good, in matters of khair. And what does the Quran say? وَلْيَخْشَ الَّذِينَ لَوْ تَرَكُوا مِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّةً ضِعَافًا خَافُوا عَلَيْهِمْ. What a picture Allah says. Allah says, if your eyes tragically closes now, what would be the aspirations in your heart? And what would be your expectations from your brothers regarding your children? If you close your eyes tragically, Allah save us all from that and let us see our children grow and mature and marry. But Allah forbid if that happens, that your eyes closes, what aspirations and ambitions will your heart contain regarding the well-being of your children, your wife? What would be your vision that if my brother can just come close here, take this business up, take care of my little siblings that are growing up, just become a fatherly figure here? What Allah says, that should be the same desire if your brother dies. وليخشى الذين لو تركوا من خلفهم ذرية ضعافا خافوا عليهم فليتقوا الله وليقولوا قولا سديدا إن الذين يأكلون أموال اليتامى ظلما إنما يأكلون في بطونهم نارا. The riwayat of Ibn Majah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam defines the beauty of a Muslim home and he equally condemns a certain home. The beauty of a Muslim home is not dependent on its furniture, my sister. It's not dependent if your blinds and your tiles match. خَيْرُ بَيْتِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ بَيْتٌ فِيهِ يَتِيمٌ يُحْسَنُ إِلَيْهِ. There cannot possibly be a better Muslim home in the entire world, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, other than that home in which daily one often eats. وَشَرُّ بَيْتِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ بَيْتٌ فِيهِ يَتِيمٌ يُسَاءُ إِلَيْهِ. And there cannot be a more evil house on the planet earth than that house in which there is one orphan which has been ill-treated. As long as the Prophet ﷺ was alive, he himself fathered those orphans. The riwayat in Al-Isaba fi Tamiz al-Sahaba, Bashir ibn Aqraba radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, when the Sahaba went out and with him his father, Bashir radiyallahu anhu's father joined Nabi alayhi salam, his mother was late. And as was routine, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would return. He would halt outside Medina, لِكَيْ تَمْتَشِتَ الشَّعِثَ وَتَسْتَحِدَّ الْمَغِيبَ, so that the woman at home can prepare and receive her husband adequately. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam disliked making a sudden presence. It was customary amongst the children to go on the outskirts, receive the caravan, and come back with their parents and their uncles. We would perhaps go to the airport to receive. But what a sore sight to the eyes of Bashir radiallahu anhu. Bashir radiallahu anhu says, as the children went, I also joined. Some located their father and they ran. Some located their brothers and they ran. I looked around in the crowd. I couldn't catch sight of my father. I moved around aimlessly to get hold of my father. But he was not to be seen. I then approached the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I came to him and I tapped him and I said, Ya Rasulallah, ماذا فعل أبي? I'm a little child. What I knew? I said, O Nabi of Allah, where's my father? Where's my Abba? It was too emotional. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam started tearing and he turned his face away. Bashir radiallahu anhu says, I came from the other angle and I said, Ya Rasulallah, ماذا فعل أبي? O Nabi of Allah, where is my father? فَاسْتَعْبَرَ وَبَكَى. And the tears like pearls just started flowing uncontrollably. Bashir radiallahu anhu says, I got the message. My mother was gone. Even my father is now gone. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam held me and he said, أَوَمَا تَرْضَى يَا بَشِيرُ أَن يَكُونَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أَبَاكُ وَعَيْشَةُ أُمَّكُ. Bashir, are you not happy from today? Muhammad is your father and Aisha is your mother. Wallah, my brothers traveled the world. Early this year, I went to Indonesia. Allah's Qasam, there are thousands of Bashirs that are lying there. I had the opportunity, while we were in Indonesia in one place, I had to address a congregation. A very painful sight for me and it will live with me for the rest of my life. As we gathered there in this masjid, when I say masjid, very close to where the tsunami happened, I was en route to Australia and I just stopped there for a period of time. We got to this masjid, it was rather hot, I was tired, had a bit of delay in the flight. When we arrived there in conjunction with the Al Imdad Foundation that were distributing some hampers, so if I may describe this to you, a family, a united family, little small tents around the masjid. You know, if I travel in my emotions, I will only burst down in tears. There was a curtain at the back where the sisters were sitting. And in front was a common sight of children without parents and parents without children. Children, you look at them, it's enough to make you cry. Nothing more. And I was told to give a talk. Wallah, the most painful moments in my life, if I've ever spoken, was that day. Where I'm speaking to orphans, there's no material future. There's no home, there's no family, there's absolutely nothing. The child is sitting there and I spoke about this incident of Bashir radiallahu anhu. There was a translator, obviously. I had to be very basic because there was a barrier in, you know, communication. And after the talk was over, and I just seen the elderly people crying, the children crying. But it was like one close-knit family. And then one person would stand up, call the name of a child, of an orphan. He would then mention to you, and when I say a child, I mean literally 5 years old. Then the person calling out the name will say, this child apparently has lost mother, father, brother and sister. And then you see this little child coming forward, not to take a gift or an award like we are used to. In a gathering or in a jalsa, a child comes forward and all gazes on him and everybody is looking at the father and someone is congratulating the mother. No, no, this is a child. His mother is late, his father is late, his brother is late. The child knows you not, you know not the child. Wallah, those children were so small, they could not carry the hampers. They could not carry those hampers. And I sat there and I cried in my heart. And I said, I wish my children were here to only think and reflect and appreciate what Allah has given us. Brothers, wallah, there are thousands. Go to Iraq and you'll see hundreds of Bashirs lying there. Hundreds of Bashirs in which parts of the world? Wallah, this ummah is taking strain. This ummah is taking strain. The land of Iraq is still drinking the blood of our children. The land of Palestine is still drinking the blood of our sisters. Has the time not come for us to awaken from our slumber? أَوَلَمْ يَعْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَوَلَمْ يَعْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Allah says, has the time not yet come for your heart now to be only for Allah? أَوَلَمْ نُعَمِّرْكُمْ مَا يَتَذَكَّرُ فِيهِ مَنْ تَذَكَّرُ أَوَلَمْ نُعَمِّرْكُمْ مَا يَتَذَكَّرُ فِيهِ مَنْ تَذَكَّرَ وَجَاءَكُمُ النَّذِيرُ. Allah says, did I not give you enough life that if you wanted to know who I was, you would have fully comprehended it? Coming back to our incident, what happened? Safwan bin Umayyah tells Umair ibn Wahab that I will settle it, you go. Umair ibn Wahab comes to Medina Munawwara. Sahaba was sitting and Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was at the door of Masjid al-Nabawi. As he seen Safwan coming, Umair ibn Wahab coming, he had the vision. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was a unique man. He said, Wallahi ma ja'a illa li sharrin. I swear by Allah, this man has an evil motive. Ittaqu firasat al-mu'min, the riwayat of Tirmidhi. The vision of a believer. Anakha rahilatahu ala bab al-masjid. He comes and he puts his camel outside the masjid. Sayyidina Umar grabs him and vigorously brings him and drops him in the presence of Nabi alayhi salam. Nabi alayhi salam says, da'hu ya Umar. Umar, leave him. Udnu minni ya Umar. Umar, come close. Then he greets Nabi alayhi salam as was customary amongst them. Nabi alayhi salam says, inna Allah akramana bi tahiyya. هي خيرا من تحيتك وهي تحية أهل الجنة. Allah has honored us with a better greeting, and that is the greeting of the people of Jannah, and that is Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ubadah ibn Samit radiallahu anhu comes to the house of Nabi alayhi salam. He knocks on the door. He says Assalamu alaikum. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asks Assalamu alaikum. Who is it? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes to the house of Ubadah ibn Samit radiallahu anhu and he greets Assalamu alaikum. So Ubadah ibn Samit radiallahu anhu answers very softly, wa alaykum as-salam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says again, as-salamu alaykum. Allah Ta'ala speaks about the ahkam of isti'adhan in the Quran. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu la tadkhulu buyutan ghayra buyutikum hatta tasta'nisu wa tusallimu ala ahliha. Dhalikum khayrun lakum la'allakum tadhakkaroon. Just to mention something here, furthermore Allah speaks about one etiquette. When there was unity in the hearts, and the hearts were clean, Allah Ta'ala says that if you go and knock the door of someone and it is an inappropriate time and he tells you that please go back my brother, this is not a good time, I'm busy with my family, don't feel offended, this will clean your heart even more. Huwa azka lakum. One person says, lifelong I knock the doors of people hoping that someone returns me so that my heart can be purified. In the tafsir this is written. He says, lifelong I knocked hoping that someone tells me irji'u, because the Quran says huwa azka. So anyway, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam tells him about the greetings. So he greets for the third time. Nabi alayhi salam says, Assalamu alaikum. He says, Wa alaikum salam, softly. Then there's no answer. He opens the door. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, Ubadah, I greeted first time. There was no answer. Second time, no answer. He said, O Nabi of Allah, if I had to answer this first time, you wouldn't have greeted for the second time. And I wanted more of your salam. This is written in Marif al-Quran. I needed more of your salam. So I said, let it go more. Let it go more till the last. When I was convinced that you're over now, why? Because he understood what was salam means. Salam means, anta salimun minni. Rest assured, you don't have to fear anything. My heart is clean. My brother, you are welcome. Nabi alayhi salam teaches him the salam. And look at the ahadith. The riwayat of Bukhari, وَتَقْرَئِ السَّلَامَ عَلَى مَنْ عَرَفْتَ وَمَنْ لَمْ تَعْرِفْ. Greet those that you know and those that you don't know. We go out of our way to greet those that we know. And when strangers greet us, we wonder if they're greeting us or someone else. Walaikum salam. Why is he greeting me? He's a believer and I'm a believer. I was once in Canada, in Toronto, and I was catching a flight to a place called Regina, that's in Saskatchewan. And subhanallah, one brother left me thinking for the rest of my life. There was a brother from Toronto, he told me he wants to join me for the program. It was about a 4-hour flight. So I told him, you know what, I'll be okay. but you want to come, you're welcome. I got no problem, but a last minute booking is going to cost you so much more. He says, no, Sheikh, I want to join you. I said, Alhamdulillah, company in the plane is always better. Anyway, the ticket was $500, but he came the last minute booking. They told him $2,000. I told him, now obviously, as much as I want your company, I don't want to waste your money. So we seen one brother there, mashallah, Muslim brother, who was working there. We went to him. We said, you know what, this is, can you just, is there any procedure of waiving a late booking? I mean, obviously, we don't want to take any person out with dignity and respect. We don't want to offend or infringe on any laws. As Muslims, we ought to live as dignified citizens. Mufti Taqi Uthmani has written that if a person violates the red signal, that this is just not an offense to the state, but it is an offense to your faith also. He says, rest assured, you have disobeyed Allah in doing that as well. And then he has given dalil, because we are morally obligated and compelled to respect all the laws of our country that do not infringe on our Islamic values and principles. That is the teachings of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So anyway, he said, no problem, you perform Asr Salah. After performing Asr Salah, he came with both the tickets. He arranged seating next to us and he gave it to us and he went away. He didn't ask for an acknowledgement. He didn't ask, you know, that look at what I done. He did it and he went away. And for the rest of that flight, and I guess for the rest of my life, this man taught me that he did this amal and went away, but he empowered and enriched the life of one person. And I said, this is the spirit of a believer wherever he is. This is the spirit of a believer, that when he can make life easy for someone, why not? Allah forgive, we are those that never mind making it easy, deliberately we make it difficult for others. Sayyidina Yusuf, alayhi salatu min Allahi wa taslimat, when his brothers walked in, and the entire picture of what the brothers had did to him flashed before him. But what did he say? How broad is the bosom of a Nabi? How vast is the chest of a Nabi? What is the taqwa of a Nabi? وَقَالَ لِفِتِيَانِهِ جَعْلُوا بِضَاعَتَهُمْ فِي رِحَالِهِمْ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَعْرِفُونَهَا إِذَا انْقَلَبُوا إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِمْ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. Listen, whatever happens, these youngsters that have walked in, it was drought, people had to pay for their corn and grain. He called his servants, he says, you don't take money from these people. This is my blood, how can I milk them in their desperation? How can I milk my blood, my own brothers, forgetting not what those brothers did to him? Today you want to make a quick buck out of our parents. Materialism. One brother told me this. Mawlana says, man phones me, says, I'm sending someone to you. Please, you know, sort out the alarm and then you will see me right. So I said, no problem. Anyway, the brother came. I started speaking. I said, so and so, you know, he said, yeah, he's my son. I said, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi. The man that referred me, he said, so and so is coming. He doesn't tell me it's his father. Making money out of his own father. Where materialism has taken us. Blinded us totally. This is the tragedy of our technologic advancement. That in the process of us advancing technologically, the legacy and the morals we are losing, this is the price we are paying. One American psychologist made a beautiful observation. He said, America's glories and evils are tightly fused together. While the statements of liberating women brought economic growth, it broke up the fabric of society. Marriages were broken, children were neglected. This is, and then he goes on to say, we are a nation who are blessed and burdened by our values. We are a nation who are blessed and burdened by our values. This is the tragedy of our progress. So anyway, Nabi alayhi salam speaks to Umair, asks him, what made you? I haven't yet started, brothers. This time is here, inshallah. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked him, Umair, what made you come? He says, no, my son has been captured by the Muslims. So I've come for the release of my son. Nabi alayhi salam said, فَمَا بَالُ السَّيْفِ عُنُقِقْ. If you've come for the release of your son, then why are you carrying a sword? He said, no, when did the sword, help us in Badr that it's going to help me today? Did the sword help us in Badr that it's going to help us today? Nabi alayhi salam said, Umair, are you speaking the truth? He said, of course. Nabi alayhi salam said, Umair, listen, you and Safwan were sitting in the haram. And then you said there's no more pleasure after Abu Jahl. And then you said if it wasn't for your debts, you would have killed me. And Safwan said he'll settle your debts and look after your family. You've come with the intention to kill me. He stood up and he said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Hada amrun lam yahdhurhu illa ana wa Safwan. Listen, I bring iman on that man. If this is what you can tell me, And this is how you have translated the emotions of my heart and painted the reality of my mission. Then rest assured there is a third being, and I bring iman on that being. I bring iman on that being immediately. Another thing I was speaking about just yesterday, I mentioned to some people that there is a chapter in the books of hadith that speaks about maghibat. That speaks about all the prophecies of Nabi alayhi salam. They talk of this Nostradamus and all other predictions. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made divine prophecies, and this was obviously aided by Allah Ta'ala. And we learn from Sahaba, whenever they seen any prophecy materializing, then if the Prophet was present, they would come back to him, and they would, as a mark of joy, revive their iman. And they say, La ilaha illallah, O Nabi of Allah, once again Allah has showed us you are the Prophet. Once again Allah has showed us the famous incident of Hunayn, where the Prophet pointed to a man and he said he's going to be in Jahannam, and فَكَادَ بَعْضُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ أَن يَرْتَابُ. There was a bit of, pause and silence, because that man was fighting very fiercely on the side of the Muslims. The Prophet ﷺ says, I will not repeat, that man is destined for hell. Sahaba says, they were pin drop silence. One Sahabi said, I need to follow this man, his outcome is going to be evil. Apparent condition shows he's pious, and yet the prophecy of Nabi alayhi salam is Jahannam. So I followed him. Kullama waqafa waqaftu, the riwayat of Muslim. Every time he paused, I paused. Every time he advanced, I advanced. And he killed a lot of kuffar. People even said, ma ajza'a minna al-yawm, none has been so brave today like so and so. And then a stray arrow came and hit him. And when it hit him, the pain became unbearable. So in the midst of the battle, he took out a spear and he committed suicide. The Sahabi came running to Nabi alayhi salam and said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. You are the Nabi of Allah. Few minutes ago, I couldn't fathom the wisdom of what you said. And it was minutes later, Allah painted it as you predicted it. So really, brothers, when we see what is happening today, many of the prophecies, of course, are not very pleasant prophecies. That evil will prosper, evil will dominate. But on a different note, this should revive our iman. This is exactly what Nabi alayhi salam said. As Allah said regarding the people of the book, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعَلْمَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ إِذَا يُتْلَى عَلَيْهِمْ. That those that were given the book before the Quran, when the Quran was revealed, they fell down and they cried. And they said, وَيَقُولُونَ سُبْحَانَ رَبِّنَا إِنْ كَانَ وَعْدُ رَبِّنَا لَمَفْعُولًا. What Allah prophesied in the Torah was to happen. Yeah, the Quran has come and yeah, the Prophet Muhammad has made his appearance. Now listen to what Nabi alayhi salam tells the Sahaba. Nabi alayhi salam tells the Sahaba three things. فَقِّهُ أَخَاكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ وَأَقْرِئُوهُ الْقُرْآنِ وَأَطْلِقُوا لَهُ أَسِيرَهُ. Two to three things with this person. Number one, teach him about deen. Number two, make him literate in Quran. And number three, release his son for him. What did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? فَقِّهُ أَخَاكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ. Take him and teach him. Number two, أَقْرِئُوهُ الْقُرْآنِ. Teach him Quran. I was reading, there were those Sahaba, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, خُذُ الْقُرْآنَ مِنْ أَرْبَعَ. You want to learn Quran? Learn it from these four. These are my four reliable people. Allahu Akbar. What a virtue. You know, the other day I was thinking, and Allah put this thought in my mind. Nowadays we have, mashallah, and in all due respect, we have a lot of titles that we afford to senior people. We call them this Sheikh and this Hazrat. And, you know, Hakimul Ummat, Shafiqul Ummat, and maybe the only thing left now is Baghidul Ummat, like someone said. We afford them great, great titles, and rightfully so. Rightfully so. These were great, great people. But one word from Allah regarding His Nabi, which Allah says, نِعْمَ الْعَبْدُ إِنَّهُ أَوَّابٌ. نِعْمَ الْعَبْدُ إِنَّهُ أَوَّابٌ. You read Surah Saffat, and Allah speaks of the Anbiya, and Allah says, what a good man Ayyub was. What a good man Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam was. What that ni'mah has done, no titles of the world can ever do. Ni'mah al-abd. This is Allah saying. Allah's praise is free from exaggeration. Whatever Allah says, Allah knows the reality of a person. Allah knows the absolute reality of a person. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, they teach him deen. Sahaba says, we started teaching him, we released his son. And after teaching him, he became so close to Nabi alayhi salam, and because of his closeness, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was very strong, apparently harsh, but his heart was so clean. His heart was so clean. What did the Quran say? Ashidda'u ala al-kuffari ruhama'u baynahum. Ashidda'u ala al-kuffari ruhama'u baynahum. Tarahum rukka'an sujjadan yabtaghuna fadlan min Allahi wa ridwana. May Allah make this a reality in our lives. Somebody comes home and asks, where is he? He says, you know what? He might be at the shop, or maybe he'll be there at Computer World, or maybe he'll be at his friend's place. These are one of the three places you'll find him. Allah said, if you want to look for my Sahaba, you'll either find them in ruku, or in sajda, or doing something pleasing me. You won't find them anywhere else. تَرَاهُمْ رُكَّعًا تَرَاهُمْ رُكَّعًا سُجَّدًا يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانًا. There was no third place you could find them. Allah make that a reality, that we can also find our children in the masajid. On this very night, wherever youngsters are, may Allah bring them home safely. Any youngster sitting in any club, may Allah give him a shiver and bring him home. May Allah let his parents sigh with relief. That youngster dining with any strange woman, may Allah give him a shiver and bring him home. Say Ameen, brothers. Ameen. We share in the pain of those parents. We cry in the pain of those parents. Nabi alayhi salam said, you want to learn Quran, learn it from four people. Salim, Mawla, Abi Huzaifa, who was also a freed slave of Abu Huzaifa radiallahu anhu. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Ubay ibn Ka'b, Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhum. Nabi alayhi salam said, you want to learn Quran from them. In the battle of Yamama, Abu Huzaifa meets Salim. He says, come, let's both give our lives today. So they both sit and they agree. Abu Huzaifa goes around chanting one slogan, Ya Ahl al-Quran, Zayyinu al-Quran bi'amalikum. Ya Ahl al-Quran, Zayyinu al-Quran bi'amalikum. Well, the people of the Quran, beautify this Quran with practicality. And Salim Mawla Abi Huzaifa goes around chanting one slogan, Bi'sa hamilu al-Qur'ani ana. Bi'sa hamilu al-Qur'ani ana. They cannot be a more evil hafiz than myself if I don't present my life today. Bi'sa hamilu al-Qur'ani ana. What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? One day Salim Mawla Abi Huzaifa came. Nabi alayhi salam looked at him and said, Alhamdulillahi alladhi ja'ala min ummati mithlak. All praise belongs to Allah who made you part of my ummah. All praise belongs to Allah who made you part of my ummah. Where father is boasting that I'm so honored that this is my son, and Nabi is boasting that this is my companion. What honor, what a privilege. You want to learn Quran from them. So anyway, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, teach them Quran. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, after Umar accepted Islam, and he became close to Nabi alayhi salam, he used to say, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ لَخِنْزِيرٌ كَانَ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ عُمَيْرِ حِينَ طَلْعَ عَلَيْنَا وَهُوَ الْيَوْمَ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ بَعْضِ. When this man came with the evil intention to kill Nabi alayhi salam, I loved an animal more than him. But I swear by Allah, when he's proven to be a true, genuine Muslim, I love him more than my own blood sons. This was the unity that united Sahaba. Their hearts were clean and they were totally united. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, what statement he made? First, one day he was sitting. Look at their condition. Amirul Mu'mineen. So one woman comes in the gathering of Umar radiallahu anhu and he says, Inna zawji yasumun nahar wa yaqumul layl. My husband, for our sisters, maybe they'll get happy. My husband, he performs salah whole night and he fasts whole day. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, Ni'ma ar-rajulu zawjuk. MashaAllah, you got a good husband. وَكَانَ فِي مَجْلِسِهِ رَجُلًا يُسَمَّى كَعْبًا. In the gathering, there was one person by the name of Ka'b. He was a very brilliant, talented, skilled person. He said, يَا أَمِيرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِنَّ هَذِهِ الْمَرْأَةَ تَشْكُو زَوْجَتَهَا تَشْكُو زَوْجَهَا. أَمِيرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ maaf, just to set the record correctly, if I understood the implications of this statement, this woman is complaining about her husband. She's not praising her husband. She's complaining when she said he fasts all day and he makes namaz all night. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, if you understood it, then rather you decide in the matter. So anyway, he said, bring the woman and come. So the woman came. This person, Ka'b, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, simple, humble, clean. If you got the better understanding, it's yours. When Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was in the throes of death, it comes to mind now. And then he gathered, جَعَلَ الْخِلَافَةَ شُورَى بَيْنَهُمْ. And he decided that six people, amongst them they must decide. At that time he said, if Salim Mawla Abi Huzaifa was alive, without reservation I would have made him the governor of the ummah. لو كان سالمٌ حيًا لو كان سالمٌ حيًا لوليته الأمر. Believe me, you know, we feel that these celebrities are remembered after their death and people speak about them and there are monuments on their name. What an honor in the favor of Salim that Amirul Mu'mineen Umar ibn Khattab at the throes of death said, if that Salim was alive, believe me, without reservation, I would have handed the reins to him. So anyway, this woman comes and Ka'b asks her, what is the matter? So she says that this is the reality, that لَيْلُهُ وَنَهَارُهُ لَا يَرْقُدُهُ لَيْلُهُ وَنَهَارُهُ لَا يَرْقُدُهُ That in the night and the day, he doesn't sleep. فَلَسْتُ فِي أَمْرِ النِّسَاءِ أَحْمَدُهُ So, he might be pious, but as far as conjugal relation is concerned, and as far as matrimonial obligations are concerned, I doubt he's a good man. He might be pious in other things, but in matrimonial relation, فَلَسْتُ فِي أَمْرِ النِّسَاءِ أَحْمَدُهُ So, Ka'ab asked this person, now what's your story? He said, زَهَّدَنِي عَنْ فِرَاشِهَا وَعَنِ الْحُلَلِ There's something in the Quran, there are certain verses in the Quran that has made me oblivious of the beauty of my wife. I don't doubt she is beautiful, she has the beauty, but there are certain verses of the Quran that I have contemplated over it, and because of that it has made me oblivious. And then the couplets go, it's very long, I will take a lot of time if I digress into that. But then Sayyidina, look at this person, and Umar radiallahu anhu is listening. Ka'ab said, you know what? Whatever you do, your piety and everything is in its place. Allah has given allowance for four wives. So that means you have to visit your wife once every fortnight. So whatever you say, every fortnight you have to visit your wife. I cannot see any... فَأَعْطِ حَقَّهَا Give her her right. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu says, I don't know, must I be more astounded with the wisdom of this woman or with your skills in ruling? اِذْهَبْ فَقَدْ وَلَّيْتُكَ الْبَصْرَةِ Go from today, talented people can't sit in my gatherings. You are the governor of Basra as long as I'm in charge. You are the governor of Basra. What I'm saying is how united their hearts were. How clean their hearts were. Sayyidina Umar stood up and he found out when he became the Amir, he said that what was the mehr of Fatima radiallahu anha? So people said 400 dirhams. So he said, oh people listen, la tughalu fi muhurin nisa. Don't ever give more than 400 dirhams to women. Fatima radiallahu anha was given 400 dirhams. So it comes in the riwayat, فَهَابَ الْمُسْلِمُونَ People, Umar, the awe-striking Umar, nobody could speak. One woman stood up, and she said, مَاذَا تَقُولُ فِي قَوْلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَآتَيْتُمْ إِحْدَاهُنَّ قِنْطَارًا فَلَا تَأْخُذُوا مِنْهُ شَيْئًا Umar, watch what you speak. Listen, the Quran says, when husband and wife separate, even if you have given her treasures, don't take it back. So there's subtle indications you can give your wife treasures. Umar said, Imra'atun asabat wa rajulun akhta. Imra'atun asabat. Today we will change history. Woman has said the correct thing and a man has faulted. Sahaba ikram had this unity. They had this close. We were supposed to speak of Quran in unity. We're still touching on the first topic. But anyway, brothers, let us see how we get united. This will strengthen. This will strengthen our bond. Umar ibn Wahab sits in the company of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. His companion Safwan is waiting every day. Give me any news. Was Muhammad assassinated? Every time somebody comes, he says, any news? They say, no news. One day a caravan came, they asked, any news? He said, yes, what's the news? He says, Umar became a Muslim. لَقَدْ أَسْلَمَ عُمَيْرٌ We've seen people going in as journalists and they came out as believers, wallah. People went as spies and they came out as believers. That is Allah's doings. That is Allah's doings. Nobody harassed them. Nobody imposed upon them. They got exposed to Islam. When it will be displayed in its original form, then this is its beauty. Umar then comes to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. He said, Ya Rasulullah, Inni kuntu shadeedan ala itfai nurillahi azza wa jal. Shadeed al-adha ala man kana ala deenillahi azza wa jal. Wa inni uhibbu an ta'adhan li fa'aqdum makkah. فَأَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَإِلَى رَسُولِهِ وَإِلَى الْإِسْلَامِ لَعَلَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِيهِمْ وَإِلَّا آذَيْتُهُمْ فِي دِينِهِمْ كَمَا كُنْتُ أُوذِي أَصْحَابَكَ فِي دِينِهِمْ O Nabi of Allah, let me open up my heart and pour it out to you. Listen, I left no stone unturned in persecuting you till I took the step to come and assassinate you. It's time now I reverse my talent. It's time now I channel my abilities in the opposite way. I want you to give me permission, I want to go to Makkah. Very politely, I'm going to invite them towards this beautiful deen. Who knows, as Allah guided me, maybe Allah guides them. But if they're not going to be guided, then just as I use my talent against you, I'm going to use it in favor of you. Wallahi, la ada'u makanan, jalastu fihi bil kufri, illa ajlis fihi bil iman. I swear by Allah, I will leave no land on which I sat as a disbeliever. that this land could testify, Umair, the kafir set on me, but that I'm going to sit there as a believer so that this land can say, Umair as a sahabi of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam set upon me. We call upon the youth in this gathering, and may Allah take my sentiments to youth across the world. That my brother, one was that time when you walked through a university with a flashy hairstyle and a woman in your arms and with a cigarette in your hand. If you want to do tawbah as an atonement to that wrong, it's time you walk in that gathering, you walk in that hostile environment of that campus with the beautiful appearance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That once upon a time people said, if you want to see a rebel, it was him. You walk through that very same things. You resist the criticism as Umair resisted it. And then you lower your gaze. I swear by Allah, if there's anything that will shake my Allah's throne, it's that young boy. If there's anything that will shake Allah's throne, it's that young boy. This was the love that they had for the deen of Allah. Wallahi la ada'u makanan jalastu fihi bil kufri illa ajlis fihi bil iman. Safwan bin Umayyah, he also accepted Islam. I just complete the incident. One day the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was walking and he had, you know, a whole herd of sheep with him. So he started looking at it. Nabi alayhi salam said, "Yu'jibuka ma tara?" You like what you see? If somebody looks at our BM, you say, "But you like it?" He says, "Yeah." I say, "Well, that's the closest you get to it." Like it from far. Now there's those cars also, "You are too close to me, you are too close to me," and the children play with it, you see it. Nabi alayhi salam said, "You like it?" He says, "Yes." He says, "Have it." He says, "You mean I can have it?" Nabi alayhi salam says, "Yeah, take it." He goes back to his people, he says, "Wallahi ya qawm aslimu, fa wallahi inna muhammadan la yu'ti ata'an ma yakhafu al-faqr." Listen, I swear by Allah, this man hasn't come to take your money, he's come to give you money. He hasn't come to take your money, he's come to give you money. Brothers, this is the first thing we need to realize, that this ummah needs to be united. And I have said this often, let me conclude this point on this here. That the reality of our life is we meet seldom. This is the sad reality. But let us become this much that when we meet, we say kind words. Unfortunately, we only meet at weddings and janazas, and we spoil that meeting also with the insulting comments and the snobbish attitude. You lost your way. What happened? Why you ended up here? No. We all are caught up. Each man's own obligations got him so engrossed that he doesn't have time to share in the joy and the pains of others. And we understand our life is this year. It's time we respect it. This year, we don't have to wait for Qiyamah. لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ شَأْنٌ يُغْنِيهِ. Imagine what Qiyamah will be when we see it in this world. لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ شَأْنٌ يُغْنِيهِ. Each man will be gripped in a condition which will make him oblivious of his partner. Now Allah speaks of Qiyamah. You see today a man driving, the rush, the stench, the tension, the stress upon him. Huh? What the poet says, إِنِّي رَأَيْتُكَ جَالِسًا فَعَلِمْتُ أَنَّكَ لِلْهُمُومِ قَرِينُ. إِنِّي رَأَيْتُكَ جَالِسًا مُسْتَقْبِلِي فَعَلِمْتُ أَنَّكَ لِلْهُمُومِ قَرِينُ. هَوِّنْ عَلَيْكَ وَكُنْ بِرَبِّكَ وَاثِقًا فَأَخُدْ تَوَكُّلِ شَأْنُهُ التَّهْوِينُ. ترح الأذى عن نفسه في رزقه لما تيقن أنه مضمون. Oh my brother, when I seen you sitting before me, the very gesture of your face showed me that you're in depression. The very gesture of your face indicated depression. سألت من الأطباء خبيرا ذات يوم من مشيبي فقال بلغمو فقلت له على غير احتشام لقد اخطأت فيما قلت بلغمو. You need to understand this in Arabic to appreciate it. Anyway, khair. So, whenever we meet, let us say kind words. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that when the one that will strengthen ties, the barakah of that is Allah will give him barakah in his health also and in his wealth also. Allah will give him barakah in his health and his wealth. I share with you one incident. The Quran speaks very briefly, but today every man, it's a reality that it's human nature. You tell a child, go to the shop, what you'll give me? What you'll give me? That's human nature. And if you make a reasonable contract with him, he will go. The reality is that today, unfortunately, we have to tempt people to deen also through dunya. It is sad, but it is a reality. I ask that brother who will be printing Ramadan calendars in the month of Ramadan, are you printing it sincerely to educate the ummah with the correct times, Or are you telling me the next time I want to go to a general dealer, I know where to go? Sincerely, I ask you, I'm afraid while Ramadan was a month where the angel said, Ya Baghil Khair Akbil, wa Ya Baghil Shar Aqsir, O seeker of good, seize the opportunity. O seeker of evil, pause for a little while. Even this opportunity we have seized for monetary reasons. We've seized it for monetary reasons. Those calendars are not coming in our masjid to tell us the time of salah and the sunnats of fasting. If that was the reason, then minus all the other advertisements. But it is in the masjid and in the house of Allah. We will know the next time I need to go to this supermarket, I know where to find it. Your friendly shopkeeper, your friendly this, whatever it is. So anyway, Allah speaks about this incident in the Quran. It's a very long incident about Bani Israel. One person was murdered and they wanted to know the murderer. I just want to show how Allah will give you barakat when you will be kind and you will strengthen your ties. We need to apply, Allah has given us, you know, they talk of marketing strategies and instituting different measures, and constantly they are upgrading. There's different billboards, there's different advertisements. We as Muslim businessmen, we branch off to a particular category in business, in economics, which the others cannot comprehend, never mind do, and that is barakat. We branch off to that. This boy became a qualified accountant. So he came, he started doing his father's books and auditing. He says, Dad, you're spending too much money, you'll be insolvent very soon. He says, hey, listen. Leave your degrees for a little while, listen. Tell me, what's there more in the world? There's sheep, there's more sheep in the world or more dogs? Which one gives birth to more? See, sheep gives birth to one, dogs give birth to many more. What we slaughter every year? Say sheep. Is there a shortage of sheep or is there a shortage of dogs? He said, no, there's no shortage of sheep. He says, my friend, this is how Allah's deen works. The more you slaughter for Allah's deen, the more Allah gives you. Did we ever hear that? No, this year we're not slaughtering sheep. Why there's no sheep? No, people are leaving cows and coming to sheep also. So anyway, Allah has given us something like barakat. Al-bayyani bil-khiyar. You see the ahadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So, Bani Israel came to Musa alayhi salam. وَإِذْ قَتَلْتُمْ نَفْسًا فَادَّارَأْتُمْ فِيهَا وَاللَّهُ مُخْرِجٌ مَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْتُمُونَ فَقُلْنَا اضْرِبُوهُ بِبَعْضِهَا كَذَلِكَ يُحْيِي اللَّهُ الْمَوْتَى وَيُرِيكُمْ آيَاتِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, ask Allah, we want to identify who's the murderer. We want to know who's the murderer. How can we locate it? Today we think we are advanced and we have this intelligence and we can find out who's the father and we have DNA and we have all other things. Allah Ta'ala makes his own intizam and Allah makes his own arrangements. Allah Ta'ala told Musa alayhi salam, tell them to slaughter a cow, take a piece of the dead cow and strike it on the dead man and he will stand up and say, who killed me? Obviously that was through the miracle of Musa alayhi salam. You try, it's not going to work. Anyway, Bani Israel started making a lot of conditions. They said, tell us what's the color of the cow, then Allah revealed the verse. Tell us what's the age of the cow, then Allah revealed the verse. Tell us what's the nature of the cow, then Allah revealed the verse. They started making a lot of questions, you know. And accordingly, Allah made things difficult. They started searching for a cow, they find a yellow one, but it's not young. No ways, it's not going to help. They find a cow that's yellow, but it's not yellow. And the Quran says, فَاقِعُ اللَّوْنُهَا conspicuous. تَصُرُّ النَّاظِرِينَ striking to the eye. They start looking. In Tafsiriya Uthmani, it is written in the Hashia. Finally, they go into one village, desperate to find the cow because they want to locate the murderer. And they have to slaughter a cow that complies with all these requisites because of their nature. They find one young boy living in a little farm. This is in Tafsiriya Uthmani. One young boy there, and he had the cow precisely to the description. So, he didn't want to sell it. It was his cow. He was getting milk and he was living. But they were desperate. He said, if you are desperate, then you will have to pay, my friend. They said, we'll pay anything. He said, you know how much gold can fit in the carcass of the cow? That's the price of this cow. They said, we'll give it to you. They gave it to him. A man who owned one cow overnight became a cattle farmer. In the tafsir it is written, Allah channeled this barakat to him because he was kind to his mother. Overnight Allah gave him money. Overnight. Allah can give to anyone. They say Qarun became wealthy because he found one treasure of Yusuf alayhi salam is in Ma'riful Quran. So what I'm saying is, we don't have to follow the economic steps. We don't have to, I'm not saying move out of the jurisdiction, and I'm not saying, do not apply whatever marketing opportunities you have. But as Muslims, this is the way. The Prophet ﷺ says, strengthen your ties. Strengthen your ties. Be kind. Be loyal. Be faithful to your parents, to your relatives. That is the only thing that will bring barakah in your life and that will give you barakah in your wealth. I'll just mention a few things with regard to Quran and I will conclude. Coming back to my opening comments, that the solution of the sunnah is that we latch onto the Quran and we unite. And if every person in his own way will endeavor to bring unity in his own house, a father within his children, what message do we advocate to our children? I mean, how often we tell the children, you don't ever eat by your foil and don't ask why. You don't ask questions. You don't. Whenever you go there, you must say Jazakallah. So the child grows up hating his foil for reasons he knows not. Then the child grows up loving his daddy for the sake of his father and hating her for the sake of his mother. Now this is a reality of our life. This is a sad reality of our lives. So what unity are we echoing? You know, we tell our children, I want you to be together, I want muhabbat. But what are they seeing between us? And study, brothers, one of the greatest things that has divided our family network is money. One of the contributing factors to breaking up our marriage is somewhere when money exchanged hands. Then it became sour, it became ugly, and then, they broke up. So let us on our own scale try our level best to patch up. Let us learn to say kind words. The condition of a believer is such that he should, have good thoughts about people. Look at this here what the Quran says. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اجْتَنِبُوا كَثِيرًا مِّنَ الظَّنِّ إِنَّ بَعْضَ الظَّنِّ إِثْمٌ وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا. One day Mawlana Ibrahim Dawla Sahib was giving a talk to certain ulama and I had the opportunity to be present there and he mentioned something very unique. He said, Allah has made the sin forbidden in the sequence in which the sin gains momentum. The first thing that happens is you entertain a negative thought about someone. Now, the command is that you should clear your mind of that thought. But on the contrary, you go and investigate it. So you go and probe the whole thing. And when you find him to be guilty of the wrong, you rejoice that your conclusions were correct. That look, when I said he was up to something, I was right. And then what is it after that? وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. Then you can't sit with that sin, now you promote it to the world. So the Quran says, don't entertain thoughts. Don't entertain thoughts. Abu Ayyub Ansari was at home for our sisters. You know, we sometimes use, I always say, Allah has given woman unique talent to convince. You come home, the wife says, you're going shopping. You say, no, you're mad. And 20 minutes time, you're in the car going to the shop. How that happens and when it happens, I don't know, you don't know, but it's a reality. I'm tired, I'm not going. And in 20 minutes time, you're in that car with your tired and your pulled up face, but you're going. If only my sister can use her channel and channel her husband in the right way, like the wife of Umar ibn Jamu' told him, that I don't think you are excused because of your lame foot. I think you don't want to be martyred. Allahu Akbar. His wife is telling him this here. I don't think you are excused, but as the Quran says, لَيْسَ عَلَى الْأَعْمَى حَرَجٌ وَلَا عَلَى الْأَعْرَجِ حَرَجٌ وَلَا عَلَى الْمَرِيضِ حَرَجٌ. ليس على الأعمى حرج ولا على الأعرج حرج ولا على المريض حرج. That they are excused. The only verse that was revealed, the shortest verse revealed independently in the Quran was غير أولي الضرر. لا يستوي القاعدون من المؤمنين غير أولي الضرر. The shortest independent verse. Jibreel came down exclusively just for that. So the sick people are excused. He performs salah and he says, these are the comments of my wife. Allahumma la taruddani ila ahli. My wife, I make salam, and I make salam to the people of this house. I'm leaving, never to return. I'm leaving, never to return. So if a woman can use her talent and channel it in the right way, encourage her husband in the right way. Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anhu comes home. His wife says, you heard what Aisha did. Now, woman, hambro, heliyehu kido. Heliyehu kido. Tohu kido. Then, after the whole thing, and when you're about to take on, don't quote me, I just heard, Maninikawa, I'm not too sure. Why you told me, my sister? Why you spoil my akhirat and your akhirat? Wallah, we got enough to jeopardize it, we don't need to cloud the issue more. Wallah, we are in a crisis, we don't need to. I always say this in my lectures, that if it wasn't a sin for me to tell you my sins, believe me, I would have told you. But the hadith says, if I tell you my sins, I'm committing in another sin, and I don't need to do that. Allah be my witness. Whenever people make their fancy praises, often I'm tempted to tell the man my wrong, but then I'll be committing another sin. The hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, Kullu ummati mu'afan illa al-mujahireen. Allah will forgive all those, but Allah will forgive every sinner, but the one who sins openly. And amongst those that are guilty of sinning openly are the men who sin secretly. وَقَدْ بَاتَ يَسْتُرُهُ رَبُّهُ. And Allah out of His kindness veils your wrong, and in the morning you get up and you say, I enjoyed this woman and this wine. Allah says, you did the wrong against me, I veiled you, and you have the audacity to go and tell others, I will never forgive you. So believe me, if it wasn't a sin for me to tell you, I would have told you. I give the example, it's simple, brothers. Somebody comes and prays you. You know, I give it in the following way. This is how evil of us. Person comes and tells you, one day you're a fool, he tells you you're a monkey, he gives you some dirty titles. You tell him, by you saying it doesn't change the reality. Doesn't make me that. Then the next week, mashallah, Friday, he sees you with a kurta dress. He says, mashallah, you look like a mufti. Make dua, it's all from Allah. What's from Allah? My lies are from Allah? Last week when I called you an ape, then it didn't change reality. But when you're looking like an angel because it suits you well, so make dua, it's all from Allah. What's from Allah? You tell me, my brother, it's time we come out of these praises. Wallah, we have to mature this. How can we get flattered when we know our wrong? تمر ساعات أيامي بلا ندم ولا خوف ولا بكاء ولا حزن تمر ساعات أيامي بلا ندم ولا بكاء ولا خوف ولا حزن أنا الذي يغلق الأبواب مجتهدا على المعاصي وعين الله تنظرني يا زلة كتبت في غفلة ذهبت يا حسرة بقيت في القلب تحرقني دعني أنوح على نفسي وأندبها وأقطع الدهر بالتفكير والحزن ولقد أتوا بالطبيب كي يعالجني ولم أرى اليوم الطبيب ينفعني سيخرج الروح مني في تغرغرها وصار ريقي مرا حين غرغرها واشتد نزعي وصار الموت يجذبني من كل عرق بلا رفق ولا هوني وصلوا صلاة لا ركوع لها ولا سجود لعل الله يرحمني وألبسوني ثيابا لا كمام لها وصلوا صلاة لا ركوع لها ولا سجود لعل الله يرحمني. Brothers, if you reflect over this year, you will never be flattered by the praise of any man. You will never be flattered by the praise of any man. The poet paints my picture, your picture in these couplets. What is our condition? I'm the one who shuts the door and disobeys Allah. The days of my weeks, the weeks of my months, the months of my years are just going by without my Allah. The days to come when my children will gather around me and some will be saying, Gone Warana, others one will be saying, Call the doctor. And I know in the heart of hearts, gone are the days where doctors can assist me. Very soon my soul will leave. The first thing that will happen, my saliva will become bitter. And then they will put clothes on me with no sleeves. And they will perform a namaz with no ruku and sajda. And they will drop me hoping that my Allah favors me. وَأَلْبَسُونِ ثِيَابًا لَا كِمَامَ لَهَا وَصَلُّوا صَلَاةً لَا رُكُوعَ لَهَا وَلَا سُجُودَ لَعَلَّ اللَّهَ يَرْحَمُنِي. So what I'm saying is, we don't need to do things to jeopardize our, we need to realize our reality. Let us not be flattered by any man. I know my son, my brother, you know your son. Our wives cannot respect us as others do simply because they know a portion more of us which others don't know. And there's that other portion which even they don't know, only Allah knows. And we beg Him, He never reveals it to anyone. We beg Him, He never reveals it. Believe me, if you only had to know what my heart harbors and what my heart has, then you wouldn't have taken the trouble to come here and listen. I know my condition, you know your condition, my brother. So we need to do things that will bring us closer to Allah. Why commit these gunas that earn us no pleasure and yet jeopardize our akhirat? Jeopardize our akhirat. Abu Ayyub Ansari comes home. His wife says, You heard what Aisha did. What did Abu Ayyub Ansari? And that is the advice I leave every man with. Now this was a slander and accusation against Aisha regarding zina. He tells his wife, tell me, will you commit zina? She says, no. He says, you my wife and you won't commit it. Aisha being the wife of Muhammad, will she commit it? I refute what you say. I need not investigate it. That's a blatant lie. And hence the Quran praised him. لولا إذ سمعتموه ظن المؤمنون والمؤمنات بأنفسهم خيرا لولا إذ سمعتموه ظن المؤمنون والمؤمنات بأنفسهم خيرا وقالوا هذا إفك مبين.
As believers, when you hear these accusations, you ought to refute it. Let us say things that will unite hearts, not break up hearts. And as men, let us not entertain these things. Let us put an end to it. Your wife brings that home, your child brings that home, let's not get involved in it. Look at Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu. One day he's talking something to Nabi alayhi salam. Then he comes home. So he tells his mother, what were you talking? So he tells his mother, no, it was a secret. The hadith comes in all the books, authentic books of hadith. It was a secret. Now if our son tells us that, then we know what we'll say. Awe anejo. Now what secret has he got again? What did the mother say? My son, it's a secret. Do me a favor, don't tell it to anyone. Secrets, you must never divulge. Don't even tell me. Now that is what we're supposed to echo to our children. The child comes home, the mother asks the child, what are you talking? He says, it's a secret. Mother says, a secret is something you keep to yourself. Don't even tell me. That is the teachings we need to promote. That is how we need to unite this ummah. One day, Khalid ibn Walid and Abdurrahman ibn Auf had an argument, the riwayat comes in Hayatul Sahaba. So Khalid radiallahu anhu came to Nabi alayhi salatu was salam. Abdurrahman ibn Auf came to Nabi alayhi salatu was salam and he told Nabi salatu was salam, oh Nabi of Allah, Khalid, he is always interfering with me. Nabi alayhi salam said, Khalid, Abdurrahman is a Badri. He participated in Badr. The Quran speaks about Badr. وَإِذْ غَدَوْتَ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ تُبَوِّئُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ مَقَاعِدَ لِلْقِتَالِ وَاللَّهُ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. You have to understand this in the eloquence of the Quran as the Quran paints it. وَإِذْ غَدَوْتَ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ تُبَوِّئُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ مَقَاعِدَ لِلْقِتَالِ وَاللَّهُ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. Oh Khalid, don't interfere with Abdul Rahman, he's a Badri. So Khalid said, oh Nabi of Allah, I respect what you said, but you don't realize Abdul Rahman starts with me always. The riwayat comes in Hayatul Sahaba. Now we in this common condition, you know, children are fighting. Nabi alayhi salam said, Abdul Rahman, don't interfere with Khalid. Allah has called Khalid Saifullah. Nabi alayhi salam wiggled his way out of the argument by making each party familiar with the virtue of the other. Recognize him. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, Abdul Rahman, don't interfere with Khalid. He's the only one who's got the title of being Saifullah. Now let us learn to understand this here. Nabi alayhi salam never forgot the participation of Badr even afterwards. When Hatib ibn Abi Balta, Allah speaks about it, Surah Mumtahina. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu la tattakhidhu aduwi wa aduwakum awliya'a tulquna ilayhim bil mawadda. When the Prophet ﷺ was about to invade Makkah, because he had some relatives, he became emotional, so he divulged the plan of Nabi alayhi salam. And through divine revelation, he was informed that Hatim has divulged your secret, which is going to be a setback to your invasion. So Nabi alayhi salam sent to Sahaba, Ali radiallahu anhu, Miqdad ibn Aswad, he said, gallop your horses, hatta ta'atu rawdat akha. You come to this location, there's a woman, she's got valuable information, intercept her in the note and bring it back. Nabi alayhi salam, these two Sahaba went, they galloped their horses, they got there, they intercepted her, brought her, sat down in front of Nabi alayhi salam. Hatib ibn Abi Balta'a walks in front. Sayyidina Umar says, da'ani adrib unuqa hadha al-munafiq. Oh Nabi, why discuss the matter? Let me finish him here. Nabi alayhi salam said, waqad shahida badran. Waqad shahida badran. Umar, what's your word? He was part of Badris. Umar, what's your word? He was part of those who... I can't overlook the fact that he participated in Badr. So it is important we learn the methodology of Nabi alayhi salam. Last week I was speaking at one function, now I'm really asking for maaf. And I'm ending, inshallah. I was speaking at one function, and I was speaking, addressing some teachers. So I said, today, you know, we have this therapy, and we have this methodology, and we have this classes, and we have different approach, you know, to enhance the education of our children. It's very important. But we are undermining the methodology of Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam. Nabi alayhi salam dealt with the most rebellious of people. Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam had people who came out and said, Ya Muhammad, ukhruj. Muhammad, where you come out? Muhammad, I want to talk to you. People who came and said that. Where's Muhammad? I'm looking for Muhammad. Allah reveals the Quran. Inna alladhina yunadunaka min wara'i. You know, we say we got children. Hey, this is a terror. And he runs us. You know? When I remember when we were small and the child was disobedient, then you hit him one, two, and then you straighten him up. Now if he gives you a problem, his medical connotations, ADD, attention deficit disorder. So now there's somebody else, you take him for therapy, he pays, you pay him more time, and I don't know if you help in the situation. So this constant diagnosis, you know, this here, you break in this into, you fragment in this in here, there's another critical analogy here, there's some other division to this here, all in this, but study the methodology of Nabi alayhi salatu was salam. Wallah, when I read this here, I cry because I know I'm way off the mark. What did that sahabi say? I walked into the masjid, and then I sneezed. So I said, Alhamdulillah. So people started looking at me. So I said, Masha anukum tanduruna ilayya. Now this was after Allah made speech forbidden in namaz, but I didn't know the ruling. I said, what's wrong? People are looking at me. So they said, keep quiet. So I kept quiet. After namaz, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called me. فَوَاللَّهِ مَا كَهَرَنِي وَلَا ضَرَبَنِي وَلَا شَتَمَنِي فَمَا رَأَيْتُ مُعَلِّمًا قَبْلَهُ وَلَا بَعْدَهُ أَحْسَنَ مِنْهُ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called me. He didn't disgrace me. He didn't victimize me. He didn't ridicule me. He didn't marginalize me. He said, listen, Allah has made speech forbidden in salah. I swear by Allah, neither have the skies nor the earth seen a more noble tutor than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The riwayat in Abu Dawud, one person joined the salah. Nabi alayhi sallam went into ruku. So to secure the rakat, he makes Allah Akbar at the door. And then he starts walking in ruku. Now, if it was us, you should have started namaz at home, brother. If you start in at the door and walk in namaz, you start namaz at home and come in. But who was my Nabi? Who was my Nabi? He said, Zadakallahu hirsa wala ta'ud. I cried when I read this. Zadakallahu hirsa wala ta'ud. Listen, I salute your aspiration. I salute your endeavor, but the action is not right. Your zeal is noble to secure a rakat. There's nothing better. May Allah increase you in your zeal for what you did. But don't repeat this action. So we need to look into measures to unite this ummah. And this Quran is the way through which we unite this ummah. By virtue of the Quran, Nabi alayhi salam sent the sahaba the riwayat in Bukhari. I mentioned this often. And the sahaba used to recite Surah Ikhlas in every rakat. We did it for convenience sake. Just look at the difference in intention. We did it the very same thing we do, it deprives us. The same thing it did, a sahabi did, and see what he earned through this. Why we read Surah Ikhlas? We think Allah revealed it, so we got something in Nafil Namaz. Nabi alayhi salam, when the sahaba returned, they asked, told Nabi alayhi salam, O Nabi of Allah, you know, alhamdulillah, we had a very good time. Our Amir had very peculiar practice. He used to read Surah Ikhlas in every rakat. Surah Fatiha and Surah Ikhlas. So again, Nabi alayhi salam teaches us lessons. Nabi alayhi salam said, he did it, ask him. Why are you asking me? Now, we go to the Maulana, you seen how that brother was reading namaz. He was reading, ask him, why must the Maulana do that? These are the things that unfortunately has crept into our ummah and has divided us. Has divided us, has caused so much bickering amongst us. Nabi alayhi salam said, ask him. So they asked him, he said, لِأَنَّهَا صِفَةُ الرَّحْمَانِ. Because Surah Ikhlas describes my Allah and I love my Allah. The riwayat of Tirmizi, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, حُبُّكَ إِيَّاهَا أَدْخَلَكَ الْجَنَّةِ. Your passion for Surah Ikhlas, I promise, is enough for your entry into Jannah. Your passion for one, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ أُنزِلَ أَشْرَفُ الْكُتُبِ بِأَشْرَفِ اللُّغَاتِ عَلَى أَشْرَفِ الرُّسُلِ بِصِفَارَةِ أَشْرَفِ الْمَلَائِكَةِ وَكَانَ ذَلِكَ فِي أَشْرَفِ شُهُورِ السَّنَةِ فَكَمُلَ مِنْ كُلِّ الْوُجُوهِ. Ibn Kathir says, أُنزِلَ أَشْرَفُ الْكُتُبِ, the noblest of books, بأشرف اللغات, with the noblest of languages, على أشرف الرسل, on the noblest of prophets, بصفارة أشرف الملائكة, through the medium of the noblest of angels, and revelation commenced in the noblest of months. Hence, one is compelled to say it has been perfected on every angle. This Quran has been perfected on every angle. Let us make this Quran a reality in our house. Let us learn the Quran. Let us study the Quran. Let us give due respect to the Quran. You see, one of the reasons why the kuffar were deprived, مَا يَأْتِيهِمْ مِنْ ذِكْرٍ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ مُحْدَثٍ إِلَّا اسْتَمَعُوهُ وَهُمْ يَلْعَبُونَ لَاهِيَةً قُلُوبُهُمْ. While Quran was being revealed, they were talking, they were entertaining many other gatherings. As a result of that, they were deprived of the Quran. Let us give the Quran the due respect. When we sit with the Quran, Usayd ibn Hudayr radiallahu anhu says, if I can remain like how I remain in the gathering when I listen to Quran, I can assure my own entry into Jannah. لو أني أكون كما أكون في حال من أحوال الثلاثة لكنت من أهل الجنة وما شككت في ذلك. Usayd ibn Hudayr, and he is the famous hadith where the horse, when the Quran was being recited, he says, if I can live my life like how I sit when the Quran is being revealed, the due respect, let us take our time and listen to the Quran recitation of our children. There's much more that could be said, but in conclusion, I make dua to the Almighty Allah that firstly He inspires myself, all the brothers and the sisters that have come here. May Allah reward you for your patience, that you have sit and listened to the humble talks that have been said here. That the speaker needs to practice on it more than the listeners. Allah Ta'ala take this ummah from strength to strength, unite this ummah, and once again restore the glory of this ummah. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.